many companies just iterate on an existing architecture instead of asking themselves, in a greenfield scenario, how should we change? How should we modernize? Right? Let's not assume that we are bound by any certain framework. Let's take a step back. Let's talk to different leaders within the organization, and let's define the outcome that we're looking for before determining what we need right this moment, and work backwards.
Welcome to another episode of Unraveling IT Expert Tech Talks. My name is Nate Troyer, and with me today is Garrett Wiesenberg. Garrett, how you doing?
Doing well.
So today we're going to be talking about an interesting topic that has to do with companies' infrastructure, where they're going with that infrastructure, what they've currently been doing, and how maybe there might need to be some sort of a reset. So Garrett, can you walk us through like how we inherited this problem of having infrastructure, but essentially just deciding we're going to put it somewhere else and calling it modernized?
Yeah, I think a lot of organizations have just continually built upon an existing infrastructure or architecture that they've had, you know, the entirety that they've been at that organization. Many companies just continue to reiterate iterate on an existing architecture instead of taking a step back during these refresh time periods where, you know, they may be adding new equipment, new servers, new infrastructure of any kind. And instead of asking themselves, you know, in a greenfield scenario, what should we do? How should we change? How should we modernize? They've simply just added on to existing infrastructure or replaced what they've had rather than taking advantage of, you know, newer architectures or really leveraging some of these SaaS-based applications that they already have.
Okay. Well, I mean, you said a lot of stuff there. So let's start off with the first thing.
Yep.
A refresh. What is that?
Yeah,
practically.
A refresh is just kind of exactly what it sounds like. It's purchasing new equipment to replace existing equipment that might be outdated, might be undersized, might be underpowered for whatever the outcomes are that you're looking for.
Okay, so in reality, that's like, you know, maybe 9 or 10 years ago, I bought servers, I bought some storage, I bought some networking gear, you know, and that is underpinning my organization, right?
Correct. Every piece of equipment that you purchase, every piece of electronic equipment that you purchase is going to have some sort of lifespan, some sort of warranty or support contract associated. Typically, we see organizations replacing hardware about every 3 to 5 years, depending on their specific cycles. And so many organizations go through, you know, these refresh cycles pretty often.
What do those look like? Like from the director of IT standpoint, what usually kicks that off? Who do they talk to? What does that process kind of look like?
So the organization is typically going to set their own cycle, and it's mainly going to depend upon either the outcomes that the organization is looking to achieve or budgetary restraints, concerns, or just the way they handle their budget in general. You know, how long do we want to depreciate the hardware over, you know, X amount of years?
Do outcomes usually come into that conversation, or
they can. Not? Yeah, I think it's a healthy mix of both. I mean, as organizations evolve, as the needs of the business change, the existing hardware you have may not support the outcomes that, you know, the business is looking to achieve in any given time period. And so while you may be purchasing hardware and depreciating it over 5 years, if in year three you decide, well, we want to do something completely different as a business, that may require new hardware, which means you're then going to have to rebudget or reallocate funds that weren't initially allocated.
So you're kind of building a framework and saying there's a phenomenon where for some reason the tech in these refresh cycles, you know, is being influenced to not necessarily change, but just to move, and calling it modernization. Calling it,
yeah.
Okay, so if I'm like a CFO and I go to my director and I say, hey, one of the things that I want at the end of the day is I just want this to be accessible anywhere. Like, I don't want to have to be in the building to get my files. What is the director who has had this, let's say, older hardware, older infrastructure mindset, what do they usually do when they hear that? Do they move their servers just into the cloud and say, well, now it's accessible anywhere?
I mean, oftentimes that's a result that can come from those sorts of conversations. Additionally, another option is that the director of IT can view that as a threat to their job security. And again, that director will then perpetuate the continual cycle of keeping things on-prem, because they believe that if it's on-prem, it's easier to show their value. it's easier to sell the value, you know, of their services, when in all reality, you know, the executives that we work with day in and day out are just looking for ways to cut costs and for uptime and, you know, reliability to improve. And anytime you have systems on premise, oftentimes the risks or the downtimes are increased because you're dealing with power.
I would imagine the cost probably goes up too to make sure they don't go down as much.
Yeah, you've got
so you know, have to build it. You've got more
hardware, you've got more power, you have, you know, just you have to cool the room. I mean, there's soft costs and then there's hard costs that are associated with, you know, hosting your own infrastructure essentially. And so what we often see is that clients, in an attempt to try to modernize, they oftentimes are quick to react without necessarily architecting out the solution that would best suit them, both in the interim, but as well as the future of what the organization is going to look like.
And what I don't hear you saying is that you should go like full on into cloud.
No, I mean, that's not going to be the right scenario for every client. I mean, I think there's certainly a time and place to go full cloud, depending again on business outcomes or objectives. But typically going full cloud often will yield higher recurring costs than just purchasing the hardware outright. So I think it's a hybrid approach is typically what's best for most organizations that we work with. And it's really just about leveraging the cloud where you can or where it makes sense, and then keeping what you need to on-prem. So, you know, a great example of that, for instance, would be file shares. 90% of the organizations we work with are on Microsoft. Microsoft, with the licensing that you purchase, typically provides SharePoint or OneDrive as an additional feature within that license that you're not paying extra for. It's just included.
And that gets rid of like the file server.
Yeah, why host a lot of your own files on-prem when you can now host those files in the cloud, have them accessible from anywhere, and quite frankly, secure them more effectively in more of a zero trust type framework than the, you know, on-prem file shares of old that rely more on the castle and moat sort of security framework.
So you used a term earlier on that I think we should kind of dive into. You used the term greenfield. What does that mean?
I'm sure there's a professional definition somewhere. Or Oxford.
Is it at this point? I'm too afraid to ask.
No,
like,
I'm sure there's an Oxford Dictionary definition somewhere for it. But I view it as, you know, you're walking out to build a home. You have this green open field where you can build your home or do whatever you want with this property. What is your ideal state? And, you know, just kind of thinking through, what do I want to do with this brand new environment that I have?
Okay, so you're essentially being able to start fresh.
Yep.
You're at least you're viewing it that way. You could have hardware already, but you're like, okay, what would it look like if we started fresh, if we had all this data and we essentially put it in the right buckets, put it in the right places to be able to access it and make it work for the business?
Yeah, let's not make assumptions, right? Let's not assume that we are bound by any certain framework, any certain architecture. Let's take a step back. Let's talk to business units. Let's talk to different leaders within the organization. Let's understand where we're at, where we're trying to go, and let's define the outcome that we're looking for before determining what we need right this moment. Now, and work backwards.
It sounds like that type of planning probably happens for an enterprise. But for mid-market, why do you think that doesn't really happen that often? That level of planning doesn't really happen.
I think there's a slew of reasons why it doesn't occur. And those reasons range from, you know, just knowledge about what is possible or can be possible. Because, again, many mid-market companies may not have an IT team or an IT leader. You know, IT oftentimes in those size of organizations will fall to, you know, finance, or they'll fall to an IT generalist who, you know, may be skilled enough to keep the lights, you know, on, but not skilled enough to know every possibility of what can exist.
He doesn't have the time either, because he has to actually do the work.
Exactly. And it's no fault of their own. I mean, you know, if you don't know, you don't know, and that's okay. Outside of that, it could just be concerns around budgets. It could be concerns around job security. You know, there's probably 5-10 other reasons that exist why these changes don't occur. But at the end,
it might not be in the mind of somebody sitting in like the CEO position, the CFO. I mean, they're tasked with making money.
Yeah.
And you sometimes it's hard to see technology as helping you make money when you're at that level, right?
And oftentimes it may require some upfront pain or expenses mm-hmm. to then save money in the long term, mm. right? So I'm a firm believer that a little bit of pain now relieves a lot of frustration later on.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to rip the Band-Aid off. And a lot of organizations are afraid of the risk of altering their strategy because, you know, we have this, it works. If it ain't broke, don't fix it yeah. kind of mentality. Yeah. And while that's not necessarily...
We have Bill, we have Joni, we have Susie. They have a workflow. It seems to work, you know, and
yeah.
it's repeatable. Seems fine to me.
And we've talked a lot on this podcast about, you know, optimizing, you know, staffing, spending, strategizing. And, you know, this is really a slightly different topic where we're trying to just say, let's really take a step back and make sure that the environment we have is the environment that we need. Because mm-hmm. I think every environment's going to need hardware. Every yeah. environment needs some degree of hardware on premise. I mean, there are those organizations that are 100% remote, don't have physical locations. Obviously, that's not the client that we're talking about today.
When you and I went and just had passing conversations with some of the people who had bought the solutions of, I would say, the 20-teens, right? Which was a lot of redundant hardware, specifically in the server section. Maybe not a lot of redundant networking. The thing that they all said was, yeah, these servers never went down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was a lot of cost.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and yeah, I get it. You know, if you don't want something to go down or you're very risk averse, then you're willing to pay that. But the reality was you didn't need that. What actually went down more often was the internet.
Yeah. Well, and I was actually talking and working with an organization this past weekend who their primary switching at their main office went down and was completely dead. It was 7 to 10 years old, out of warranty, out of support. There was really nothing that we could do.
7 to 10 years sounds like a really good run.
I mean, it gave it. I mean, they definitely used it to its fullest potential.
Right.
But they went down, mm-hmm. and you know, initially we thought it was internet, but the internet was essentially coming in through the switches. The switches died. We needed to replace them, and you know, the organization was really just focused on getting back up and running. Mm-hmm. They didn't care if it was pretty. They didn't right. care if the hardware was, you know, professional grade. They were willing to go to Best Buy and just buy something to get back up and running because they wanted their staff to be in the office because of the collaborative nature and the benefits that that brings. And so, right. you know, I think with this sort of re-architecture comes a, you know, reprioritization as well, because 5-10 years ago, pre-COVID, it was really in the office. Everybody was in the office working. And today it's more of a hybrid sort of approach where there are a lot of organizations that are in office, but more and more we're accessing resources from everywhere and anywhere. So it's what resources make sense to keep on-prem and what resources can we leverage in the cloud?
Do you see the conversations that you're having when you're actually doing these planning? Because you're involved in lots of these planning discussions. Do you see a reevaluation of what's critical as well? Because in the yesteryear conversations, it was like, oh, you know, we have 30 virtual machines. They're all critical because yeah. they're all going to share this, you know, dual host environment. Sorry if that's a term we haven't really discussed, but yeah, redundant environment. So everything was treated as needing to be on all the time.
Yeah.
Have you seen those reevaluations?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you how many either IT directors, business leaders of any kind, CFO, COO, CEO, have just looked at me and said, yeah, I don't care if that goes down. All I care about is X, Y, and Z. Mm. And X, Y, and Z today is not X, Y, and Z from 5 years ago. Because COVID taught us all that we can live without certain aspects. Now, again, some organizations, there's absolutely going to be critical infrastructure. We're certainly not stating that. I mean, banks have critical applications that need to run, and a lot of them are still hosted on-prem. Hospitals need, you know, critical services to, you know, stay online 24/7.
Manufacturing. Drawings.
There's going to be, you know, those organizations where there are critical items, but file shares, no longer critical. Active Directory, if it goes down for a while, okay, yeah, it's disappointing.
Well, that's a great question. Why do you think people are still so tied to Active Directory? Because I get that all the time. Like, we have Active Directory. I'm like, we don't have to have Active Directory. You don't have to really rely on it that much. Why do you think they're still...
I think it stems from a lack of knowledge.
Okay.
And just understanding...
Or familiarity.
Yeah, familiarity. And what, you know, Entra can really do for an organization.
Okay. You know, practically, what do these planning meetings really look like?
It begins with defining the outcome. Mm-hmm. So what are we trying to achieve? What is the end state or future state goal of the organization as a whole? And then trying to understand where IT needs to get to really support the final outcome. So once you have the outcome, you can work backwards from that to really figure out, okay, what do we need to do over the next 3 to 5 years to achieve this outcome, or whatever that timeline is? I mean, I guess that's a good point. I'm making my own points.
Yeah. Okay. I'll say my points are good too.
Yeah. You know, that's something that during the outcome definition phase, timeline is imperative. Are we trying to achieve this outcome tomorrow? We're trying to achieve it in 6 months, 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, really creating that roadmap or that holistic plan. And then from there, we can work backwards to determine what do we need to do in what time frame to achieve that outcome in, you know, within the time frame that we're trying to achieve it.
So it sounds like you need knowledgeable people that can essentially get the information, bring it in about how the company operates, what the desired outcomes are, and then what's available in the space to then bring to bear on each one of the outcomes, correct?
Yeah, you need business leaders and stakeholders across the entire organization.
So one guy can't make this decision.
No, it should.
And he certainly can't hand it to a generalist.
It is not solely up to an IT director. I mean, it might be up to a CIO, right, or a CTO type role.
Right.
Because obviously they're an executive level. Like,
right. To make the strategic decision, right?
Yeah. But even then, the CIO is being informed by whatever the CEO is mandating, right, or the vision that they're casting. It's not just solely on them. It's got to take buy-in across the entire organization for it to be successful.
And from the top down.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So Garrett, what's your message to infrastructure leaders in 2025?
Don't continue to perpetuate the same cycles that you have been for the past 10 years, expecting the same outcomes that we've been, you know, achieving over the past 10 years.
So take a step back.
The world has changed. Things are not the same. Hardware has become more and more commoditized. You know, we are selling less and less Cisco type hardware just because the degree of complexity has decreased.
It's got a steep, it's got a steep learning curve too.
It's a steep learning curve. It's a steep cost. And the feature set that it used to provide, well, yeah, there are still some features that are very valuable that other vendors just may not be there yet.
Yep.
You can get 90% of the same features from a, you know, piece of equipment that's 75% less expensive.
Well, for enterprises and things like that, it's a great product. It's like the gold standard. But if you're a mid-market organization that ultimately only needs to peer with Azure, there's a lot of other products that can get it done for fractions of the price.
As you begin to leverage more and more of the cloud, you no longer need as many sophisticated resources on-prem or sophisticated pieces of equipment on-prem. All you really need is an internet connection and a firewall to, you know, provide your staff with some level of protection.
Right.
So as the times change, we need to evolve with the market trends.
So put time into planning, right?
Yeah, put time into planning, put time into the strategizing, and don't go it alone. I cannot stress that enough. Understand where your organization is heading. Understand the outcomes that you are trying to achieve, not only today, but into the future, and then begin to plan backwards from there as you are compiling your budgets for the next fiscal year.
Great. Well, thanks, Garrett. I appreciate you being here. Appreciate you giving us your time and your thoughts.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, that's it.